Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, Derek Felix, here on the Hard Hits Network, and it is indeed a final countdown. Yeah, it might be cheesy to have that old classic from Europe, but that's what we come in with tonight on a Monday evening. This is a abbreviated edition of the Hard Hits podcast. As I go, I'm going to do about half an hour tonight. I finally got a chance to have my mop basically cut tomorrow, so looking forward to that. Hope everybody is doing well and everybody is safe out there. It is a decent Monday evening here. Certainly had a lot of sunshine, obviously. Temperature hit about 86 today in Staten Island. The Forgotten Borough, the best borough that there is right now. Hope everybody is doing well out there. So, a couple of different topics that I wanted to touch on, and that will be it. So, let's start off with a little NBA. I'm not really as big into the NBA anymore, but some news coming down in terms of the coronavirus. So let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus. As you may well know, the coronavirus has been here, has been out in the United States since about late February, basically early August. That's when it really started to hit. So, of course, it really did a lot of damage here in the New York City metropolitan area. I just don't think they were prepared for it, and I think that people didn't think it was going to be that bad, and people were misinformed, including some of those genius politicians. That even includes the president too. So this is not about politics. It's just about the fact that when you have a pandemic, you have to really try to be safe. And you have to really listen. And I feel like it was pretty devastating. It's pretty devastating when you think about the numbers. What is it like? I think it's at like 125,000, I think, in the States. Pretty sure about that. So I'm looking at the chart right now. Like, it really started, the death started to mount and climb in early April, mid-April, and it kept climbing, and now it's been flattening, obviously. Now people are still getting the coronavirus, and they're getting them in different, warm weather states now. Maybe they're doing a better job of just self-quarantining. I don't know what the heck's going on there, but we saw a lot of deaths, certainly. We've seen a lot of people that have been affected. 128,000. It's 128,000. It's basically over 128,000. That's confirmed in terms of deaths, people that casualties to this deadly virus. Came from Wuhan, China. Confirmed cases, this is confirmed, by the way, 2.64 million. That is insane. So you had 128,000 that died, 811,000 recovered in New York, right? York has the most deaths, obviously, with 24,835, and there was a 7+7 increase. Confirmed cases, 393K. The next most would be California in terms of cases. We have 211,000, and deaths were a lot lower. I don't want to say all of them. I shouldn't say that. 5,905. New Jersey would be the second most deaths, most casualties, 13,121. So it really devastated the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area, 171,000 confirmed. And Texas, 149,000 confirmed, 2,393 casualties, and 74,000 recovered. Now, it has the numbers in terms of recovery for Texas. It doesn't have the numbers for recovery in terms of New York or California or New Jersey, all liberal states. I'm not really sure why. But then again, it has Florida, too. Florida, 146,000. 3,447 deaths, and obviously numbers have been spiking there. So, yeah. So, this can pretty much affect anybody. And here's an interesting thing. Just looked at, and I'm not like big against the New York Times, but 43% of the U.S. coronavirus deaths are linked to nursing homes. That was Governor Cuomo's brilliant idea. To have nursing homes accept coronavirus patients. That did not work out too well. So, still learning a lot in terms of everything. I think that when you do go out, and some people aren't listening, but I live in Staten Island. For the most part, I think people do listen. You wear your mask if you're in public. That includes when I took out my Japanese, my sushi order today. I did, even though it was kind of a takeout. I wore it. You sanitize, so you have your hand sanitizer, you wash your hands. If you go to a store, yeah, you wear your mask. You wear your protective mask. Make sure it's over your nose. I got to do that tomorrow when I'm going for my haircut. I'm dreading it. Hopefully it'll be nice and cool in there. And it won't be too long. I have to have my temperature taken, too, before I have to sign something. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of concerns. I just wish that there are people rooting it. New Jersey wanted to do indoor seating for restaurants. No, they had to go back on that because some idiots and fools decided not to social distance, not to practice the social distancing because they went to the beach. And this is the problem. If you have, people that do that, they're idiots. And that's all it takes, basically, for things not to reopen and for phases not to move up or forward. So it's just not a good situation. Now, in terms of the NBA, the Nets have been hit pretty hard. You have both DeAndre Jordan. He's positive. And you also have Spencer Dinwiddie. So Spencer Dinwiddie also is positive. And Wilson Chandler, here's the deal. Wilson Chandler, because he has a young baby, about maybe 15 months, and he's got a family, has decided he's not going to participate in the NBA, when the NBA comes back. So he will not be going to Orlando. He wants to stay with his family, and that's understandable. DeAndre Jordan, after his positive test, has decided that he's not going to take part in what happens in Orlando. So the Nets are running out of players because if Kyrie Irving is not going to play and be a bitch about things because he basically is, and Kevin Durant is not going to play, then why? What kind of roster are they going to have? I mean, really, aside from like Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie will probably recover. And he did not indicate whether or not he was going to, whether he was going to like pass it up. And Dinwiddie is their starting point guard. So Especially without Kyrie, and Dinwiddie is pretty good. Dinwiddie is like one of the best contracts in basketball. So, and he can put up the numbers, and he's definitely a guy that you want in terms of well, at least if you're a Nets fan, look, I don't see them going anywhere once the playoffs start because of what happened, but they obviously need him. If they want to be competitive, and they want to continue some of the regular season. I don't just really understand what they mean with these players testing positive, and DeAndre did say he's confirmed out. He's out for the NBA restart over in Disney. Well, it's not good. It's not a good look. There were other players too that also are out with or right now have the coronavirus. So it's look, it's gonna happen. It could happen in any sport where athletes wind up with the coronavirus. And so I mean, Jokic, who was an MVP candidate for the Nuggets, he tested positive recently. So, right now the number, at least the number from 3 days ago, courtesy of ESPN.com, 16 out of 302 players tested positive. So that number, you could bump that number up. Some players have recovered, like Durant and like Kyrie. So obviously, it's a risk. A big risk in terms of what they're doing, and the first one was obviously Rudy Gobert, and I think Donovan Mitchell, and he was not too pleased with Rudy Gobert. That's when they were in the New York area, obviously, when they played the Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. So there wasn't a lot of they were not too pleased. So it's definitely something that you don't want to see, but. And Jokic's test, his positive test came in Serbia. So he will, his return, that was 6 days ago, as reported. So his return to the United States is delayed. He has to quarantine, self-quarantine. And look, I mean, if you're going to come out, if you're positive, well, it is the end of June. So officially, this is the final day of June in 18 minutes here in the East Coast. And that would be tomorrow, Tuesday. And so there would be time to recover. It's just, what about getting back up to speed, though, in terms of workouts and in terms of just getting back up to speed? So, the Nuggets have a pretty good team, too. So these are just some issues that you do have to concern yourself with. We've seen baseball players come positive as well. And at least baseball was finally, they finally put play their pride, and they did reach kind of a just an agreement. They don't really have an agreement. It's just they're playing 60 games, and it's going to be like a blitzkrieg kind of season. And yeah, I'm sure there will be some more positives. And looks like the Yankees probably play at an empty Yankee Stadium, and the Mets will probably play at an empty Citi Field. They have to just find the right places to play these games. And but of course they're all going to have to be tested. There's a lot of baseball players that have to be tested. So, I mean, this is going to involve all sports. NHL, of course, when they come back, and I mean, they still haven't decided what the second host city will be. I mean, the first host city is supposed to be Las Vegas. We're seeing a little bit of a spike. I don't know if that's going to affect things. Vancouver is out of the running. Toronto is in the mix, so they could possibly be the other location. So these are just some things to keep an eye on in terms of what they decide to do. 7 hours ago, NHL says 26 players have tested positive for COVID-19 since phase two began. Okay, so this is 7 hours ago, and this is an SI article. And you're going to have positive tests. It's just Austin Matthews was the only one that we know was revealed. And so far, let's see here, what does it say? All right. Yeah, so more than 250 players were worked out. All right, so more than 250 players were administered more than over 1,400 tests. Wow, for COVID-19. It's pretty crazy. But this is the reality. This is the reality of the situation. So you just hope that everything's going to work out. So you hope that the NHL can complete their season. You hope. And if you're an NBA fan, same thing. You're going to hope that things work out. You have some players that, like Kyrie Irving that want to fight social injustice. Okay, whatever. I mean, if that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. Look, that's a bigger issue than playing basketball. We'll all agree on that. I mean, there's certain things I don't agree with, but whatever. So who knows what's going to happen? My only advice to people is that, I mean, I've been going out a little bit more, and I went to the old conference house with my friend Ivan and Joseph. They came in from Brooklyn, and they lied to their families that they came out here because from Brooklyn. And I mean, we had our masks. We didn't always wear them, but we had sanitizer, and you just try to be cautious. That's all. Social distance and just do the best you can. But yeah, I'm not gonna say that I'm perfect, but I think that I've gone about it the right way. So, all right. So that was a little longer than I wanted it to be, but I wanted to segue to the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots made a little bit of news here. Oh, they made a couple. Actually, they made news for two reasons. So, why don't we get to the bigger reason? I'm not talking about the fine that they got and the fact that they're going to lose a third round draft pick once again. For their illegal camera work and stuff, they basically got a slap on the wrist. What a shock. I mean, really, I mean, oh, so you're going to lose a third round pick. Who cares? I mean, really. The NFL is so weak. God. Oh, whatever. But they did decide to sign after saying they weren't interested. They weren't interested. Sometimes it's all smokescreen. We've seen this a thousand times with teams. The Patriots needed a quarterback. They weren't going to go in with what they had, and they decided to sign Cam Newton on an incentive laden contract. So, the former Carolina Panthers quarterback who was out there for a while, and obviously due to his injury, and he is 31 years old. He was a former Super Bowl. No, I'm sorry, not Super Bowl. Oh, he lost the Super Bowl. He's a former regular season MVP. I mean, this is an accomplished quarterback. So they weren't gonna just go with Jarrett Stidham, who they drafted in the fourth round in 2019, and they also brought in basically a veteran backup, Brian Hoyer. I think, look, for them being able to get Cam Newton on an incentive laden deal. Yeah, that's a little risk. Why wouldn't you do it? I mean, it makes sense for Bill Belichick. I mean, obviously they still have a pretty good defense. They want to field a competitive roster. Obviously they don't have Tom Brady anymore, and it's time to move on. But they still have some good players on that roster, and so they're gonna try to compete, and they're gonna take a shot with Cam Newton as their starter. Well, you know what? I shouldn't just come out and say he's going to be their starter. Would I say he's going to be their starter? Yes, I would. But does it guarantee it? I don't know. You know what? It's hard to say. It is really hard to say because I don't know how he's going to react. He had surgery. He obviously did not play too many games last year, and he hasn't been healthy the last couple of years. And what kind of quarterback will he be? Will he be a good quarterback? He may not be able to use his legs as much. How healthy will he be? Can he? It's a 1 year incentive laden contract. Well, yeah, I mean it's a win-win. There's no downside to this. He's 31. Hey, I mean a former MVP. Why not? I mean, take your shot, and that's what they're doing. They're going to take a shot and give them a chance. Why not? Yeah, I mean, the Patriots needed to do something. So, look, Cam has had a very good career. I mean, really. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, he was number one overall from Auburn. Obviously, won a national championship with the Auburn Tigers. I could forget that. They had a great year there and got selected first overall by the Panthers, by Dan's Panthers. And, hey, I mean, he certainly developed into one of the elite quarterbacks out there. I mean, in terms of the running and the passing and that 2015, that 35 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions, obviously that was his best year by far. He did throw for over 4,000 yards in his first year, but he usually averages about 3,200-3,300 passing yards a season. He's pretty clearly in the high threes, mid threes, 3,300-3,400. So yeah, it's just a question of can he stay healthy? Is he going to be able to run like he did before? I probably would say no. I mean, this guy used to run for 700 yards three different times. And, you know, it's been in the fives and the sixes. Maybe it will be lower. What about as far as protecting the ball? I mean, will that be a problem for him? You know, he's fumbled the ball before. Hasn't lost too many of them. I guess it just depends on can he come back? Can he be sharp? Or I guess it's more a question of what does he have left? Obviously, there's a lot to prove on a one-year contract. I mean, he's playing for his career, too. I mean, you could be out of the NFL that quickly. You can. And it's not that I'm rooting for Cam Newton because I'm not a Patriots guy, obviously. I'm not a fan of Patriots, but I don't have anything against Cam. I think he was very arrogant during his Super Bowl presser, and maybe he got what he deserved in that Super Bowl. But I think he's been a very good quarterback. Is he Hall of Fame caliber? I wouldn't say that. But he's certainly a guy that's been a very good quarterback and somebody you can respect. So you never want to see guys not go out on their own terms. So this is a chance for him to come back. It's an opportunity. For a kid from College Park, Georgia, and for the Auburn kid to make good. And he gets to play for the Patriots. I mean, that's a pretty good opportunity right there to play in the AFC East. Buffalo Bills, they look like they're going to be pretty tough. I think the Bills are still the favorites in that division. I know that Brian and Rob will probably say, well, we're not the favorites. The Bills, your team is on the rise. You have a great defense. You have guys that make plays around the ball. You have a running back that looks like he's going to be really good. A quarterback that's going to be in his third year on Josh Allen. And they were able to pick up Stephon Diggs, which is going to really improve things, I think, from an offensive standpoint for the Buffalo Bills. I would definitely still put the Bills as the favorites. That doesn't mean that the Patriots can't be a factor. They can be a factor. There's just not going to be a number 12 by the name of Tom Brady. There's not going to be a Rob Gronkowski who took last year off anyway, and now he wants to come back and play with his buddy Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Whatever. I mean, look, you know, Gronk is a young guy though, so and we'll see. Maybe the year off is going to do him some good, and the Bucks have some talent. That's why, like. You know, I know Colin and some of them, they don't think the Bucs are going to be good. Well, the Bucs, they had a solid record last year. Winston was just very inconsistent. And if Tom Brady certainly will have a lot of weapons, so why shouldn't they be good? I think they should be a 10-win team, 9 wins at the worst. I mean, why can't they win 10 games? That's a good division, though. So, and, you know, Colin believes the Falcons are going to be better. We'll see. I'll see. How will the Panthers be? Will they be the worst team in that division? You know, the Saints should still be good. There are some question marks. So we'll see what happens look, the NFL is a long way away, and you don't know what's going to happen with the coronavirus. And so it's just, it's an interesting situation, but I like it. I like it. It's a no risk move, low risk, basically. And we'll see what Cam can do. So, I mean, they got Stephon Gilmore, defensive player of the year, obviously coming back. They still have some really good players on this team. Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty. There are a lot of good players on the Patriots still. So, and that doesn't include, I call him Wes Walker Light, but he's probably, I would say that, like, I don't know why. Why did I decide to call him Wes? Wait, did he leave? Yeah, I can't remember. I honestly, it's been so long. I'm so out of the loop on just everything when it comes to this, when it comes to football, and just when it comes to sports, because players, you know, they change. They do change rosters, and I'm talking about Edelman, of course. Did he leave? I'm trying to remember now. If he left, because Edelman has been the he's always been the go-to guy. So Edelman, he's still with the Patriots. So yeah, he's still with them. So all right, so he didn't leave. He is their go-to guy. Obviously, they don't have a lot of talent at the wide receiver area. So that's a question mark. Are the Patriots going to be? Are they going to be as good? We saw this. This was a problem last year for this team and for Tom Brady, who wasn't as sharp last year as the season went on, and the offense struggled. And we saw what happened against the Titans. Yeah, so it didn't work in Philip Dorsett. I mean, Sonny Michel hasn't really panned out as the kind of running back I thought he could be. So yeah, they're gonna need to be. They need to be better offensively. I mean, their defense is very good. So it's really up. It's really the other area. All right. So I want to switch gears. I want to talk a little bit about a tragedy that happened. And a very sad one, at that. So and what I'll do is I'm just gonna talk about this for a few minutes. So only a couple minutes left in the live portion. I'll go a little in overtime. I want to talk about just very harsh reality in New York City, and especially with some of the policies that they're trying to push here when it's Democrat. I used to be a Democrat, but they're just becoming more and more progressive, and I understand that maybe there needs to be some police reform when you see some of these tragedies that have happened, and they shouldn't happen. There shouldn't be any African Americans being gunned down. And if it is, it should be justified. And I think there are a couple of cases maybe it was, but in some other ones there hasn't been. So, but you can't have all these protests that you have here, and you can't have high school graduates like Ryan Hendricks dying from a stray bullet at the age of 17. That is just a terrible thing. And he was a high school basketball star. And it's just, I'm devastated by it, to be honest. I really am. I'm at a loss for words. Actually, I might be getting on first. Hendricks is his last name. I want to make sure I get this right, because I have been following the story, and it's just very depressing to me. And his last words were, "Call my mom." That was the teenager's last words. Brandon Hendricks. Yeah, Brandon Hendricks. All right, I'm looking at the New York Post article now. I had linked up both of them. I knew I was messing up the last, and I just apologize. I just feel so bad for the family. He had just finished graduating. He was a Bronx basketball phenom. He had gotten an athletic scholarship to St. John's, graduated James Monroe High School. And what happens? Gets hit by a stray bullet, 176th Street in the Bronx at night, Sunday night, Davidson Avenue, rushed to St. Barnabas Hospital, and there he was pronounced dead. And it is just such a tragedy. It shouldn't happen, as I am in overtime, and I talk about this for a little. Brandon Hendricks, a kid who averaged 12.6 assists, 2 steals per game as the Eagles point guard, and a lot of really good quotes too. He was an athlete. He was a leader. Everybody loved him. Monroe assistant coach Chris Salgado had said. And Hendricks actually was initially planning to attend prep school, but then he had decided going on to junior college at West Hills College in California. So he was going to go the junior college route and then go to St. John's, because I read something different before. So you know, he never could figure anything out. It's just, I think he was off an athletic scholarship by St. John's. So it really wasn't meant for him. Someone has said, wrong place, wrong time. The people who were with me are all basketball players, nothing to do with the streets at his teammate. His teammate being his friend Hamad Singleton. Okay, yeah, was 18. So, and this is the stuff that doesn't get as covered as much. That this was probably gang related, and here's a little quote from his coach. Who was coached from James Monroe, Nigel Thompson, talked about how he was a fierce competitor. That is why you see all this outpouring of love and support. It's hard because you can't bring him back. Hendricks, he became a victim to city's growing gun violence, and I'm going to get to that in a second. He had so much promise, it's hard to deal with. How can you deal with it? I mean, especially if you knew this kid, and it sounds like he came from a good family. It's hard to deal with the senseless violence that plagues our streets. I want to read that again. I want to emphasize it. It's hard to deal with the senseless violence that plagues our streets. Are you listening, Mayor de Blasio? You idiot. He's such an imbecile. Are you listening, Governor Cuomo? But it's Mayor de Blasio that's the worst mayor in New York City history that decided to make revamp the New York Police Department and put them on their heels. It's not good for anybody. And I think I remember reading or seeing something about there being a 25% increase in violence since they decided to get rid of the plain clothes for cops for undercover cops. It's like, they just want, I mean, I see people, and a lot of them are just, look, they're younger generation, you're raised in a liberal school system, and you go to college, and it's mostly liberal, and they're all about defunding the police, and you can't do that. You can't defund the police. New York City spends the most money on police department, though. I do understand that, so I understand about that, but New York City is there's a reason for things too. I mean, should they put some more money in some of the other programs to help communities? I think they should. I think that's fair, but they can't defund the police. That's crazy talk, and it's liberal talk, and it's not good for anybody. And same thing with the bail reform, and that's when the violence started. And because you're letting the criminals, repeat offenders, back out on the street, they don't even have to. They don't even need to make bail anymore. That's not good. Well, it's like they're creating a dangerous situation here in New York City. And I mean, I live in a pretty safe area of Staten Island. I'm not going to say where. Let's just say I'm on the South Shore. I'm saying the South Shore is perfect. You know, there are some problems when regarding addiction to opiates and opiate addiction and heroin. And I mean, so it's not perfect, but they're doing a better job of taking down those dealers, and because that's death, they're selling death. So, but I will say, and look, is Staten Island perfect? No, it's not. I mean, yeah, North Shore is more violent there, but in the tough areas, Mariners Harbor is probably the worst area. Stapleton, look, Stapleton though, you have rich areas and you have poor areas, so I mean, it's gonna happen. But compared to the city, compared to what's taking place and what took place with Hendrix, with this kid, and what's happening in the city, with these crazy protesters, and whether it's the Bronx or it's Manhattan, especially Brooklyn, Queens. I don't know if it's happened as much in Queens, but it's dangerous. These are dangerous times. I feel a hell of a lot safer where I am in Staten Island right now, and than I would if I lived in the city, or if I lived in Brooklyn. Because you just don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's gonna happen. So, I just want to bring attention to this topic because it's not covered a lot, especially by the mainstream media. They would rather cover all the protest and the ridiculousness of basically destroying statues, destroying public property, and removing monuments or just defacing them. It's vandalism. And President Trump is not perfect by any stretch. There are some things I just cannot understand about him. And that's because he's not a real politician and he's done some really bad things himself in terms of health, in terms of just not being a leader. But he signed that bill about anybody who actually, does this stuff be sent to jail. And you know what? They should be. They should be. So I don't know if they should be sent to jail for 10 years, though. I don't think I agree with that kind of a term. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little much. That's a little much. But I do think that when it comes to history, you don't just take everything down and remove it. And I want to say something else, and I don't want to be controversial on this. I just want to be forward without being tough. Just on the Black Lives Matter movement. Look, I think Black Lives Matter is not what it's cracked up to be. And by saying that, yes, Black Lives matter, all right? Every life matters. But Black lives especially matter because they have endured more racism and more attacks and more unjust killings or shootings or and racial profiling and all that stuff. They have endured slavery. They've endured segregation. So it's true. It is true. And even people being put away when they should have been put away, like the petition that I signed for someone that was locked up when he didn't do it. And hopefully his lawyers will get him off and he won't face death row in a racist part of Oklahoma. Edmond, Oklahoma, I think. That's what it was. That was very interesting. I watched the whole documentary and those were NBA players that were doing good. Blake Griffin, that included Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook, and I think a couple others. Baker Mayfield actually was part of that too. And I did the research on it, and there's just no way, there's no way that he committed that crime, and that's racism, and the irony being is that the co-defendant decided to testify against him in court, so that he would get a sentence of 30 years and not face death row. And then what happened? He only did 15 years, got out of jail, and his name is Chris. Yeah, the guy who probably did it, Chris Jordan. I think he planted the evidence because he stayed at the guy's house. This was a basketball player too, who was he was kind of was hanging with the wrong crowd, and Chris Jordan's friend decided to he was an informant, so they basically set him up, an informant that worked with the police. So they all were African American or black. You could say either or. And sometimes I'm not comfortable saying black anymore. It's just, you know, I'm like that. Like, I don't really like to talk about color. I don't. I hate it. So, but I think it's pretty sad. He's been in prison for about 19 years. Been locked up for 19 years, I think, and a documentary came out in 2018. Yeah, he was convicted in 2002 or 2001. So 18 years. Okay. So he still has been sentenced to death. He had, and the lawyers, the original lawyers he had were, they did not do a good job at all. So I hate this stuff personally. Reading a story like that really just, I don't know, it kills me. It kills me when it's somebody that you know is innocent. And yes, it's happened before. So sometimes, yeah, there are people that are wrongfully convicted. I've seen movies about this based on true stories. There was a recent one. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing, but it's good. It's a good movie. So, and this does happen. So these are things that, look, I'm willing to speak up about. I don't need to support Black Lives Matter, the group, to support Black Lives. I can do it by being a voice, by speaking out, by signing petitions like the ones that I've signed, like for Breonna Taylor I did. So yeah, I can do it that way, or Arbery. So I can do that. I could do that. I think that, unfortunately, BLM is run by rich, white men. That's rich, white men who are corrupt. And I hate to say it, but part of that corruption is, unfortunately, the Democratic Party with Joe Biden. He is part of it. And that's why you see these idiots, and they are. I don't like saying, look, I don't want to say that, but they're pushing all this crap. They're painting all these streets with Black Lives Matter all over the place. And I'm not saying that it's bad to do that, but it's just white liberals that are pushing this through. They're pushing it everywhere. And I think that you have to open your eyes. Open your eyes. A lot of stuff that Malcolm X said is true. So, I mean, Malcolm was a lot more controversial than Martin Luther King. And some of his ideas, obviously, I wouldn't agree with, especially in terms of the segregation. But I think that some of the stuff that he said is very true. You could do the research on it. You could find some of his speeches on YouTube. Malcolm was a very interesting person. So whether or not you want to do that, you can. It's funny because ironically he got murdered by his own people because he decided to go against the Islamic leader that he had followed because, well, it's a long story, so I'm not gonna go into the details, but he was only 39 when he passed away, and he had a terrible upbringing, so it's interesting. And Malcolm is a very interesting fellow, someone that we don't talk about a lot, but unfortunately, white liberals who are, you know, in the politics, they are using the black community for votes. I'm not saying that you should vote Republican. No, I'm not saying that at all. Because the Republicans are—they're bad, right? I mean, they really—I mean, they're both bad. These parties are bad, but I think Democrats have become worse. They used to be a party of peace, a party of tolerance, and there's no tolerance anymore. Instead, what do you have? You have chaos in the streets. You have marches everywhere, and they're slowing up traffic, and they're like, and look, I'm not saying that some of these protests aren't peaceful. They are, and chants everywhere. What are they going to do? They're just going to keep doing this until the election, or is it going to continue? And there have been riots, and there was terrible stuff that happened in Seattle, so in Oregon, so in Portland. So I think you have to be a little more informed on things. And I think that a lot of my white friends who are younger, they're being used. So every time you buy a shirt that has that label on it, you're supporting the deep state. And I don't like saying that. I don't want to credit. You know, that's what you want to do. You can do it. You can do whatever the heck you want. This is America, okay? And no one should have to be oppressed, okay? No one should be oppressed. You know how much racism there is against Jews still? I mean, we get blamed for everything. It's true. But I never had to, look, I'm not black. I never faced any kind of racism. But I've seen a lot of people lately talk and say some things about Jews that are just so offensive. And nobody should use that kind of offensive language or label or generalize. So, you see an increase in violence, and because these are hired guns. It's organized. These are organized protests, and some of them are dangerous because of what they do. And it's like they're not. And there have been video. I've watched videos of black people who were just protesting and doing the right thing, yelling at basically hired people that were bussed in, and they were white people, and they were doing all the spray painting and doing the looting, and they're yelling at them, and it's not what Black Lives Matter is really supposed to be about. So you can't be oblivious to it. You can't be oblivious to it. If you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. Well, that's an old quote from Malcolm. You're not to be so blind with patriotism that you can't face reality. Wrong is wrong no matter who does it or says it. That's true. I mean, I am a patriot. But if you're a patriot these days, you're a nationalist, or you're this, you're that. I think there should be a way to distinguish. We have the 4th of July coming up, like, very soon. And it's always one of my favorite holidays, Independence Day. I mean, we've been celebrating that for a long time. Yeah, so it's very interesting. So, and it's just a very interesting time, and very polarizing time, and it's frustrating. A lot of times I just get frustrated, but reading about this 17-year-old basketball player, it really got to me. When you read about a kid like Brandon Hendricks is what's wrong. That's sad. And it's not covered as much. And a lot of this stuff happens in Chicago. And New York is getting... Look, I'm not saying New York's going to become Chicago. I hope not. But, I mean, you have more and more veteran detectives or lieutenants, police, quitting their jobs, because they don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to work for a mayor that's anti-cop. And I don't blame them at all. So I just, there's just a lot of dangers out there. And you do have to be careful. You had a lawyer that tossed a Molotov cocktail at NYPD, and they're pleading not guilty, and they're supposed to be a lawyer. You should be locked up. You have, there was something that happened on, what was it, Sunday morning, I think, and maybe the Bronx, 4 in the morning. 4 in the morning, basically, or Saturday morning. 4 in the morning, and they were just tossing empty bottle, beer bottles at cop cars, at cop cruisers. Like, are you kidding me? Do you know how freaking sick that is? In Harlem. It happened in Harlem. That's wrong. That's dangerous. And these are the kind of people you have to watch out for. You have to be careful out there. I have a friend that lives in Harlem, and I just hope that she's okay. Yeah, I mean, really. And there was a lot of memorials put up for Brandon Hendricks. He did have a I know that it said in this article that there was a verbal dispute, but the bullets were not intended for him, so it's straight bullets. And it's just very sad. So I'm looking at the picture of this memorial, and it just looks really nice, and so many candles, and like a vigil on a basketball court. And his uncle comforts Brandon's coach, Chris Glasses. Oh, man. It's just sad that this stuff actually happens. And it's just, I just feel like things are just going to get worse. And things are going to be more problematic. And that's, it's not the way I was raised. People forget, the 80s. There was more crime. The late 70s and 80s were more crime. And crime was still pretty bad, and even in, like, 1981. It wasn't until, like, until Giuliani got in that things changed, that things got cleaned up. So, I am just very devastated by this. And by what they're trying to do to the NYPD, I think, and I just think it's wrong. And they're just going to give more criminals, I hate to say it, but more criminals the opportunity to do whatever they want and commit more violence. And that's not what you want. That's dangerous. So I spent more time on this issue than the other two. Because I felt it was important, and I feel it's very important and vital and crucial. I don't associate myself with anything in New York City anymore because I'm embarrassed by it. I'm appalled. I'm appalled by how bad things are, and it's just, it's not a good time. I'm just glad to be able to just live here in Staten Island and feel relatively safe. I have to wear a mask tomorrow. I go to this hair appointment, and I'm dreading it because those masks are not comfortable. But hopefully everything will work out for the best. I want to just send my condolences to Brandon Hendricks, of course, who he should still be with us, and I want it to his family and to all of his friends and his teammates, because he was only 17 years old. He had just graduated high school, James Monroe High School, two days ago. Now it's 3 days, but it's just very sad times and hard times that we live in. And these are the kind of things that aren't discussed enough. They don't want to discuss the gang violence that happens and people hit innocent people, being hit by stray bullets or kids dying for no reason. I hate to say it, but it's part of it. It's part of it. And it's tough. It's tough to talk about. So, pretty much going to do it. I I think that I pretty much exhausted this topic. I had to do it. I talked a lot about the coronavirus too, and for good reason. So I'm going to play a couple of songs in terms of, so now I'm going to switch it up a little bit, play a couple of songs that I added to the switchboard. A couple from Tupac, Back to Back.
How many brothers fell victim to the street? Rest in peace, son, as they have been forged. Be a lie if I told you that I never thought of that. My nigga, you the last one left. But life goes on. How many brothers fell victim to the street? Rest in peace, son, as they have been forged. Be a lie if I told you that I never thought of that. My nigga, you the last one left. Life goes
as
on.
I bail through the empty halls, breath stinking in my drawers.
About this bitch.
Benz, so y'all niggas make shit poppin' when we get out there, man. Don't front.
Life goes on.
Send this one out to the old school. All these motherfuckers in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Staten Island, Queens, and all the motherfuckers that laid it down, the foundation. You know what I'm saying? Number love for the old school. That's what we gonna do this one for. You feel me?
If the old school didn't pave the way, what more can I say? I wouldn't be here today. If the old school didn't pave the way, what more can I say? I wouldn't be here today. If the old school didn't pave the way, what more can I say?
I remember Mr. Magic Flash, Grandmaster Cass, LL, Raisin Hill, but at it last, every year Rock Jim was the shit to me. I flipped to see a Dougie Fresh show with Ricky D, and Rattle Earth was putting in work. And Chuck Chill had my homies on the hill getting ill when shit was real. When I still remember Raw with Daddy Kane, when De La Soul was putting potholes in the game. I can't explain how it was. Houdini had me puffing on that Buddha getting buzzed. Cause there I was, them black parties in the projects and on my block. If you don't stop flipping on that product side, I threw my finger Queen Latifah and MC Light. Listen to Tressa KRS to get me through the night. With Taylor Rock and Mantronics, it's just a phonic. Remember Pusha was the boss, it's nothing like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way. What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
I had shell toes and BBD. A killer priest stop my leads when I hit the streets. I'm playing Skelly Ring, Alivio, or catch a kiss. Before the homies in my hood learn to smack a bitch, I remember way back the weak weed they had. Too many seeds in the trade bag. I'm on the train heading uptown, freestyling with some wild kids from Bucktown. Profiling, got the hoop kids for seven, checking where the niggas wearing. I'm wondering if that's ahead. I remember sick ball, up the hoopies on the ball. I take your leaps on the step, sticking up the hall. Young nigga trying to stay away from Rikers Ave. Me and my homies breaking night, trying to keep it true. Out on the roof, sipping 90 proof, and nothing like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old school.
What can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Like the old
what
school.
Can I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way.
Remember popping and locking at Curtis Blows, the name belt. It's got La Rock the Super Hole back in Latin Quarters. When Slick Rick was spitting Lottie Dottie. Came in the hoochies at the neighborhood block parties. I remember break dancing your Melly Mel. Tickling hot LL when he rocked the bells. Forget the TV, I'd rather hit the streets and do graffiti. Be careful, don't let the transit cops see me. Remember the tie and ice, yo. Remember the tie and ice.
Spanish niggas coming down with the coconut icy shit.
I came through the door, said it before. That was the shit.
All right, that was the one and only Tupac Shakur with a double there. Life Goes On. A song that I definitely can relate to. Haven't lost a really close friend 10 years ago. And rest in peace to Brandon Hedricks and condolences to his family. He's only 17 as of age, and to a senseless tragedy. Old School, one of my favorite old Tupac tunes. It's basically a tribute to all the great MCs that came before. I like the fact that he shouted out MC Light. MC Light was great. She inspired Queen Latifah. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh. Yeah, I mean, there's a hell of a lot of old school. Run DMC, Big Daddy Kane. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on. So, two different unique songs, and you know, Tupac is my favorite rapper. And he would be in my top five, obviously, in terms of just, God, he was brilliant too. He was a really smart guy. Yeah, he really was. But all right, this is Derek Felix. It was a good show. I covered some different things tonight, but I think I had to. I felt like it was important to. Next podcast, who knows? Maybe it'll be more upbeat. It'll probably be tomorrow, so probably be upbeat. I'm going to end with something that I just love. So something that I think needs to be part of our vocabulary and part of everyday life. Instead of anger, we need a lot more love. Good night, everybody.
Jams crossed it.